J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Jenna Fisher, we spent a little time with her at the Fan Fest yesterday.
All right, so any athletics in your background from Darings Hall there or in college or anything like this? Or are you just going to go out there and just try not to embarrass yourself today?
Well, I played softball for CPOP as a kid, and that was third and fourth grade. Haven't played since, but I've been throwing a ball around, went to some batting cages. I'm just trying not to look too horrible. I'm going to do my best.
You've been a very, very busy person, and I was just looking at the list of films that you've been in just in the last couple of years. It seems to me like the really, really funny people in Hollywood, the really funny people who've been making these movies that just crack everybody up, have maybe figured out that not only are you really good at what you do comedically, but you're sort of like nice to be around, too.
You know, I have been very lucky because I haven't worked with any bad people yet. Mm. Like, all the people I've gotten to work with, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, John Heder, all those people are really funny actors and comedians, but really down-to-earth nice people. So I haven't had one of those, like, bad Hollywood experiences where I work with a bunch of divas. I think I'm really lucky.
No. There was a movie called The Brothers Solomon, which a lot of people didn't see.
Yeah.
But it's one of those movies where you're staring at the screen going, no, they didn't. They did not do that. They did not say that. You're in the movie maybe 4 minutes, and it is one of the funniest scenes because you play it completely straight. There's a look of sheer terror on your face as you realize what is happening on this bad first date. Just tell me about what it's like to do something. I mean, 4 minutes, and I remember that scene more than anything in the movie.
Well, I was really excited to get to do that. Bob Odenkirk directed that movie, and I know him, and he asked me to be in it. And
Mr. Show.
Yep, Mr. Show. And I knew I was going to get to do a scene with Will Arnett, who I already knew and loved. And that was hard to get through because Will Arnett is really funny, and Bob's really funny. So on set, the two of them would be cracking me up even before I had to go on to do the scene. So that was great. I mean, it's cool when you go in for one day of work and you get to do something that, like, pops like that, you know?
What does it seem like when you come back to your hometown? What seems different? What seems the same? What seems comfortable? What do you look at? You drive by and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe that.
I'll tell you two things I noticed. Great water. The drinking water here, tap water, is amazing. It tastes better than bottled water. And also the air quality is so much fresher than in Los Angeles. And it's greener and just prettier. And I think the city keeps getting better and better. I mean, I'm so excited to be staying downtown right now because I got to see that the City Garden sculpture installment. And just everything is so beautiful. It's just, you guys just keep adding things to the city. And it's an exciting place. I love St. Louis.
You're getting hitched again.
Getting hitched again. Yeah, that's right. I am.
A lot of people are not familiar with the gentleman. Tell us who he is and what he does.
His name's Lee Kirk. He's a writer and real good, nice guy and a solid individual. I'm a very lucky woman.
Look at her grinning. Look at you. And now you're blushing on top of it. Jenna Fisher, great to have you back home. Have a great time.
Thank you very much.
You have had a bad day. I can't believe her parents were there when she did that. That's so weird.
It is, isn't it?
Do you want a blowjob or something?
I'm good, thanks.
Do you want to fuck?
Yeah, that's really sweet, but I don't think it's a good idea.
You can jerk off in my tits if you want.
You know, as much as I'd love to, I think I'm going to pass. Whisper, do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
And what would you do if you... What would you do if he was having sex with another girl?
Play with her tits?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're our teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside? I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. You are at jconline.com. How are you doing, kids? I may have to go back and rewatch the movie Employee of the Month. Those Catholic school girls, man, oh man. You know, people don't like stereotypes. They don't like stereotypes, but one of the reasons stereotypes exist is because a lot of times they are right. She is the sweetest thing you've ever seen, and she is that innocent Catholic school, well-scrubbed girl next door, and her alter ego takes over when she gets in front of a movie camera, and she will do and say anything. She loves these roles, and I just love her. I absolutely love her. So good for her. It's good to see somebody doing well. And again, you know, she was married to James Gunn for a very short time, another St. Louisan, the Guardians of the Galaxy guy. That marriage did not last very long. She's, as you heard, been remarried, and James Gunn makes movies now, and that's pretty much how that story ends. Anybody at any time for any reason can make a list. All you have to do is say, yeah, what can we do to piss people off today and get them into big fights at the water cooler? Let's put out a list of, in this particular case, the best 40 rock singers of all time. Now, there's a little bit of a leaning towards classic rock here because the website is called Ultimate Classic Rock. And, you know, everybody puts these things out. People Magazine was always putting out lists like this, and Rolling Stone does them. And all you really have to do is have an opinion about something and get a room full of people and bring in some Jolt Cola and some Hostess Ho-Hos and lock them in there for a weekend and say, come up with the best 40 singers of all time in rock and roll. And ultimately, it comes down to the credibility of the people who are putting together the list. We were just talking about the St. Louis Walk of Fame the other day, and it's great that they gave Andy Cohen a star. I don't know that I would have done that, but, you know, fine, let him have his star. But to exclude Dan Kelly, we were talking about that for the last couple of days. And then when you get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all of these bands, well, I don't want to open that again because I'm going to get myself all pissed off here for no reason. Ultimate Classic Rock put together a list. Now, lists are interesting. You know, when I was working for a very brief time in sports talk radio on 590, there were a bunch of 22-year-old overweight guys with big old fuzzy unkempt beards, and they were overweight, and they wore coaches' shorts and their big guts hanging out. And all they really had in their lives were sports. I'd like to have a little balance in my life. I love sports, but the reason I don't work in sports radio, for example, is number one, I don't know enough about sports overall to do that because I don't care. I like what I like and I enjoy what I enjoy. But to be sitting in a room every day in sports talk radio where these guys can tell you the color of the shirt Peyton Manning was wearing the day he got drafted, I mean, that kind of crap. I got tired of that with the movie bunch, too. If you just say, nothing else in my life is going to matter anymore because I'm going to dedicate it to knowing more about this one particular area than anybody else. And I guess that's great. I mean, if you need something to do. But, like I said, you need to maintain some balance in your life. And I have a lot of different interests. So do I want to just sit there and memorize every single stat and every single nuance in sports or movies? No. Now, these sports guys were particularly obnoxious because I just think they were doing the shows for one another. The audience wasn't very big anyhow. You know, little AMP shooter, as they call them, these low-power AM stations that, you know, maybe 20, 25,000 people at any given time were listening to. That's not much. And I would sit there sometimes in the studio with them and think to myself, who do you think is interested in hearing this conversation? The only people who would be are people just like you. These guys go to bed at night with SportsCenter on TV and just sleep with it on. I might miss something. No, you're not going to miss anything. Besides, did you notice they run SportsCenter and they go to commercial and they come back and they just rerun the same one you just watched? But I still remember this one particular day, it got into this list thing, and I just think these lists are designed to start arguments. And the time was put together a list of the top 20 NFL quarterbacks of all time. And, you know, there's lots of obvious choices. And when it came to me, I included a name right at the end. Matter of fact, I think it was number 20. I included a name that wasn't on anybody else's list, and that was Joe Namath. And the reason why I put Joe Namath on there is because when he won the Super Bowl against the Baltimore Colts, it changed everything. Everything we now know about football and the way football is done in this country changed after Joe Willie Namath guaranteed a win in the Super Bowl. The AFL, the American Football League, and there's a lot of people don't even remember there was one. And by the way, a lot of these guys, most of these guys who were working at these sports talk radio stations weren't even alive when that Super Bowl was played. And I remember watching it, and I remember the impact that Joe Namath had on the game and how everything, as far as we know, regarding football changed on that day. It was a game changer, and I think for that, you have to recognize the contributions of Joe Namath. Well, I say that, and they start screaming at me, you don't know anything about sports. Get out of the room. Get out of the building. Get out of this county. And they were just attacking me left and right. Well, it's interesting because about 6 months later, it was somebody like Sports Illustrated put on a list. You know who's on the list? Joe Namath. So, but those guys hated me anyhow because right after I got to that sports talk radio station, you know, that was about the time when people were still entertaining the idea that maybe the Rams were going to be staying in St. Louis. And I was like, no, they're not. I've been saying this for 2 years. They're gone. Well, how do you know? I talked to Kevin Demoff, and he said, like, wait a minute. Kevin Demoff, the professional liar? Kevin Demoff is installed for one purpose only, and that is to keep you from knowing what's actually going on. I hate to say it this way. I hate to own up to it. The National Enquirer, TMZ, you know how they do it? They do it the same way I do. Or I should say, I do it the same way they do. And that is, you don't talk to the president of the company or some PR guy. That's their job, to lie to you or to just put the best possible spin on them and nobody else. Deflect blame, all that sort of stuff. You know who knows what's going on? The doorman. The bartenders know everything. The guys who park cars. They know who's going home with who and who's doing what. The bartenders overhear everything. They know who's hanging out with who. You talk to those people, that's how you find out what's going on. And in this particular case, I don't think I've ever talked about this before. We lived in Chesterfield, and then we left for Houston for a couple of years, and then we ended up coming back to the exact same house. And during that period of time, one of the Rams' assistant coaches was living in that house. And then they left, and then we came back in after we left Houston. But we had two family friends who had sons and daughters, one son, one daughter, who worked at Rams Park. I mean, they were in low-level administrative positions, but when they look around and they go, they're putting things in boxes here, and they've asked if I need any help with my resume, or do you need a referral or a letter of recommendation? You don't have to be a racket surgeon to figure out what's going on. And these kids would come back to their homes or apartments, or some of them were living with their moms or dads, and we would talk to them and like, oh yeah, she's job searching because the Rams are gone. Now, I couldn't say that because she was still working there, and you know, you didn't want to reveal that as your source. But those were a couple of my sources. Well, of course, now the Rams actually leave. And they're like, well, you had a 50-50 chance of being right. You just got lucky. And I'm like, no, that's not what happened. But if that's what you need to believe to make you feel better about yourself, you sports insider. These insiders, they crack me up. I've talked about this before. People, you know, every station, especially the sports station, we have a Rams, we have a St. Louis Cardinals insider. And then Mike Schilt gets fired, and it's amazing how everybody gets the information at the exact same time. You want to impress me? You want me to believe you're an insider? Tell me the day before, or at least the night before, or a couple of hours before. Then maybe I'll believe you. When the Cardinals call a news conference, say, we're firing Mike Schilt, and everybody gets it at the exact same time, what happened to the insiders? So these guys were really mad at me anyhow. they just hated me. And, you know, you chalk it up to experience and you move on. I mentioned all of this because this outfit, Ultimate Classic Rock, and they've been around for a while and they do a couple of good things here and there, but they've put together a list of the best 40 rock singers of all time. And wait till you hear. All right, here we go. Number 40, Pat Benatar. And right there, I have a problem because one of the most proficient, operatically trained singers I have a lot of those in rock and roll. It's Pat Benatar, so it, she's last on the list. Okay, fine. Steve Winwood at 39. I love Steve Winwood's music. Never would have occurred to me to put him on the list of the best singers of all time. Prince at 38. Van Morrison, 37. Well, he mumbles. Janis Joplin, Ronnie James Dio, Jeff Buckley. Most people wouldn't even know who that was. Paul Rogers from Bad Company. Jeff Lynne, no problem with any of those. Tina Turner at 31. George Harrison at 30. Sammy Hagar, Sebastian Bach, Bruce Dickinson, Phil Collins, Sly Stone at 25. Bon Scott, Steven Tyler at 23. Tom York, Greg Allman. Now, I was in the supermarket the other day, and Sweet Melissa, actually, it's called Melissa, was playing one of the great songs of all time. But Greg Allman at 21, better than Pat Benatar. Bob Dylan at 20, another mumbler. Rob Halford, never even occurred to me that he would go on the list. John Anderson is only number 18. Tom Petty at 17. Stevie Nicks. And here we go. Now it starts to become a little odoriferous. Linda Ronstadt at number 15. Now, I'm going to read you 14 through number 1, and you tell me if these are better singers than Linda Ronstadt. Peter Gabriel, Roy Orbison, Elton John at 12, Ann Wilson, who I would have put 1 or 2, probably 2, is number 11. Axl Rose, oh, give me a fucking break. John Lennon, Chris Cornell, David Bowie at 7, Joni Mitchell, Steve Perry at number 5, Mick Jagger. Love the Rolling Stones, love Jagger, but a technically superior singer over some of these other names? Number 4, Paul McCartney at number 3, Robert Plant at 2, and number 1, don't have a problem with this, Freddie Mercury. Like I said, anybody can make a list. Up until about 30 years ago, when you watch the network news on TV, there'd always be some older guy in a crumpled bad suit who was the who was the financial advisor. He was the guy that would sort out what was happening with the Fed and everything like that. And the same thing with the legal analysts. You'd have some pinheaded looking guy with horn-rimmed glasses and slick back hair who looked like, you know, if you ever threw him a ball, he'd probably load his pants. But man, he could make a slide rule sing, you know? Now, of course, everything is so cosmetic that you got to be beautiful to be on TV. Do you ever wonder how many tremendous journalists are out there somewhere who are not good looking and therefore we never hear from them? Because television only hires pretty people who can read off a teleprompter. There's a woman on NBC. She's actually the NBC senior legal analyst. And she is a fucking knockout. Her name is Laura Jarrett. And she's on with Katie Turr the other day on MSNBC, which I don't spend a lot of time on for reasons that should be obvious. But anyhow, they have this a senior legal analyst, Laura Jarrett, on. And I've been in this situation before. When somebody asks you a question as part of a conversation that is usually somewhat passionate, you know, it can be in an argument sometimes or just a very, very spirited conversation. And somebody asks you a question and about 15 possible answers come into your head all at the same time, but your mouth can't keep up. That's when this happens.
Can you consider a Supreme Court justice's grandnephew who's being raised as a son less fortunate and especially an at-risk youth? Well, I mean, I know you can't make that judgment, but it's worth questioning it.
Well, the other oddity here.
Wow. Can I quote you on that? I don't believe I've ever heard that sound in my life. Let me string them all together a couple of times. She's getting into Porky Pig territory there. Oh, well, you know, she's hot, so it doesn't matter, right? As early as today, but probably tomorrow, we're going to find out if one of our former United States presidents will now be referred to as convicted rapist Donald Trump. Let me give you a hint. That's going to happen. Bernie Miklos and I have been friends for a long time. I actually sent him a note yesterday. He sent me a note right back. He is extremely appreciative of the fact that, you know, he's all over this Cardinal situation with Wilson Contreras. All over it. I would say that the piece that he put up a day ago has to rank among the greatest he ever has written. And that stuff he writes for The Athletic has got a paywall, but a couple of these pieces have been published anyhow, absolutely free. And if you go to my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, you'll see what I'm talking about because I posted the entire article. It's too long for me to read here, but it is an absolutely superb analysis of who is at fault here in this Wilson-Contreras debacle. And it's been a long time since I can remember anything this fucked up in the Cardinals organization. You got to go back to see how they jacked around Mike Schilt. Phone rings. Mike Schilt figures out they're calling me about a contract extension. And instead they say, we're replacing you with this 35-year-old kid who has never managed in the majors before. You know, the last three managers the Cardinals have had have never managed in the major leagues. Maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. But if you don't think Mike Schilt got jacked around by the Cardinals, I'd be very, very surprised. And all you have to do is look at that to see that even though the Cardinals have one of the most storied organizations in the history of baseball, they're still capable of making really stupid fucking mistakes. Never forget what Tony La Russa said on numerous, multiple occasions. They're men, not machines. And when I said to him once, I said, how much of your job is baseball related and how much of it is just figuring out ways to work with these young guys? He was like, oh, 90% of it. 10% is baseball. So the Cardinals are like, well, it's Ali Marmol. Oh, he's a tremendous mind. He's a terrific mind. His baseball IQ is in the ionosphere. Yeah, but if you don't know how to do the bigger part of the job, which is to handle young men, what do you got? And I'll say this. if the games tonight and tomorrow night or anything like the one last night, oh, we're gonna have fun for the next 48 hours because what a great fun game that was last night. And Wilson-Contreras a little flashier than I'd like to see him be, but also you can understand under the circumstances how that could end up happening. But please, if you even have a passing interest in the Cardinals situation and what's happening right now, go pick that up on my Facebook page yesterday and read that whole thing. It is absolutely superb. Some of his best work. And Bernie is very appreciative of the fact that we are noticing that he is doing like just Pulitzer Prize level work on this whole thing. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. You know, Bernie and I always like to tell the story when we were both much younger. I said, you know, I ran into him at the Fox Theater one night at the Raffi concert. Some people say Raffi, but, you know, that kid's musician. You know, he sings Three Blind Mice and Down by the Sea. I wonder if I still have his song about Canada in here. All right, here we go. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Raffi. Sing along if you know the words. From his album, Banana Phone.
C-A-N-A-D-A.
Tell me, what's a Douglas fir?
C-A-N-A-D-A.
Bet you never heard a bobcat purr.
C-A-N-A-D-A.
Have you ever seen a lobster crawl?
In Canada, we get to see them all.
Like every other letter is A.
We get to see the maple trees, maple sugar and the maple leaves. We got the biggest wheat fields growing tall.
Everybody now!
In C-A-N-A-D-A, where we see the reversing fall.
Goose?
In Canada, we get to see them all.
Come on, everybody, let them hear you outside.
C-A-N-A-D-A.
Okay, all right. But I told everybody I ran into Bernie at the Raffi concert, and we had such a good time. Next time, we're thinking about bringing our little daughters. Good morning, everybody. But it is true. We did run into each other. We've been friends. But like I said, we had a brief exchange yesterday, and he is very appreciative of that you're recognizing what a great job he's doing on this story. And it has just been, you're going to be talking about this decades from now, and the story's not even over yet. 17 shot in St. Louis over the weekend, 5 deaths, 10% increase in violent crime this year, even though crime overall is down, violent crime up by 10%. It was on this date in 2008, Planet Hollywood was the place, and Leah Thompson from Caroline in the City, and of course, Back to the Future, and of course, All the Right Moves, where she starred opposite Tom Cruise, another absolute sweetheart, could not have been nicer.
It was on this date in 1990 that I got my first set of x-rays back on what would lead to my first cervical spine surgery. Jeez, I've had three since. And it was on this date in 1991 that Richard Jenny played the Westport Theater when his mental health was in a lot better shape than it was towards the end, where he eventually ended up taking his own life. The information that I got over the weekend was that Jamie Foxx was not in good shape and that he might be on his deathbed. My friend Les Trent from Inside Edition and fellow Buffalo Bills fan immediately got to me and said, I don't think this story is right. I'm like, well, you have better sources on this one than I do, so I will defer to you. Now, a source close to Jamie Foxx says he's stable and his condition is no longer life-threatening, whatever that means. Supposedly, doctors not ready to release him until they're absolutely sure he is going to be okay. Famous people have reportedly sent letters to Britney Spears because they're worried about what she might write in her autobiography. One source says, and here's a quote, Britney is brutally honest in the book and there's a lot of nervous A-listers. What the hell is that supposed to mean? All right, birthdays today. Drina Patridge from The Hills, 38, and she has them too. Rosario Dawson, 44. John Corbett from Sex and the City, 62. Billy Joel is 74. Candace Bergen, 77. Tommy Rowe, oh, Sweet Pea, Won't You Dance With Me, is 81. And one of the most talented men in Hollywood, one of the three men who developed The Simpsons. He also co-created The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Taxi, all over the place. James L. Brooks is 83 today. I don't know what we did before this invention in 1899, but the lawnmower was patented 124 years ago today. L. Ron Hubbard, and I'm, you know, living in the hot zone for Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard published Dianetics 73 years ago today in 1950. Sinead O'Connor refused to perform on Saturday Night Live on this date back in 1990. Then she changed her mind and ripped up a picture of the Pope, and that was the end of her. Renee Zellweger and Kenny Chesney secretly married on this date 18 years ago in 2005. She filed for an annulment 4 months later, citing fraud. And 82% of us has snooped through somebody's phone. The two most likely victims are our significant other, our exes. 8% have also looked through a friend's phone, and 3% have snooped on a coworker. 9% have looked through a kid's phone. We want to see text messages, photos, videos, browser history. The most concerning things we found are flirtatious texts, proof of cheating, or evidence they've been lying in general. When we do snoop, we usually get away with it. 81% of snoopers say they've never been caught. And Donald Trump and Mike Pence both are going to be at the North Carolina GOP convention next month. That's going to be awkward, especially when you see Donald Trump at the Hallmark store trying to pick out a I didn't try to stop my supporters from hanging you card. And with that, the Jason Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, May 9th, 2023 is in the can. We're here every weekday morning at 11. Spread the word if you can. Email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. News on the new radio station coming possibly as early as tomorrow. We'll see. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
What?